This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of 19 Cats and Counting. Anybody counting knows I'm down to 15. 15 we're staying steady at right now. I lost four of them last year. Anyway, in case you don't remember, I'm Rita Reimers. I am a certified cat behaviorist. You can learn more about me at ritareimers.com. But today we have an awesome guest, Dr. Mark Primiano. I can say that because I grew up in an Italian neighborhood. But we'll be right back to talk about him and more when we come back after these commercials.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
So we're back with 19 Cats and Counting. Dr. Primiano, I love your name. I'm homesick for Buffalo sometimes, so that makes me feel like I have somebody from my old neighborhood I'm talking with. But tell me, you are very involved with cats. Tell me how that came to be.
Yeah, so I work at the Treehouse Humane Society in the north side of Chicago, the far north side. We're just south of Evanston up in Westridge. And it is a cats-only shelter. Though we do also have a veterinary wellness center where I am our surgeon, and we do spay neuter at a low cost for the public, as well as surgeries for our animals at the shelter and trap neuter return programs as well.
Yeah, those two initiatives, spay neuter and TNR, are just so important to keeping down our feline population. And this month also happens to be National Adopt a Cat Month.
Yes, I just adopted a new one myself a couple months ago. I'm going to hold him up right now. This is Roland.
Oh, he looks so much like my Simba. How cute. He's still a baby.
Oh, yeah, he's a little guy. He's like maybe 9 months old. He came to the shelter in March. I lost one of mine in February, my Virgil, who I'd had for just about 8 years. And Roland showed up a month later and has almost the exact same mannerisms and looks.
I think sometimes
pretty much like 90%. Yeah, it was one of those where it was like, yeah, you're supposed to be the one that's coming home. I also have Dante, who just hopped off the table and ran into the kitchen to go get some water. But yeah, two orange boys over here.
Like, I don't want to be on camera today. I'm surprised my teddy bear is not here. She likes to be on camera, but she's changed residence. I live with 15 rescue cats. Don't try this at home. anyway, so what got you involved with cats specifically, and the cat you were wanting to talk about? Cat dads, which is awesome, because I'm now writing an article about modern day cat men.
Yeah, so I've been a veterinarian just a little over 10 years now as of last month, and almost all of that has been in shelter medicine. So you see a tremendous amount of cats and dogs. The cat that pretty much turned me into a cat person, though, is my Dante, who I'm really hoping will come over enough so I can pick him up. But it's a really sunny day and he's been hanging out my windows. I don't blame him. He was a lab research cat and a blood donor at my vet school. And so nothing evil with the lab research. It was for either Frontline or Revolution. I can never remember which one. But to make sure that the cat medicine works on cats, you have to test it on cats.
Sure.
And so he has tattoos in his ears because he was specifically bred to do this. And they're not just grabbing like random cats off the street and making that happen. And after a year, all the cats got adopted out, except a couple of them that were the correct blood types that they needed. And also really just gregarious, easy to handle personalities. Then got to live in a room about as big as the room I'm in right now. So there were three of them, and they hung out there for 3 years. They get their blood drawn like once or twice a year for a transfusion. Mostly they were just played with by bored vet students who needed stress relief. And when he was at retirement age, which is four, it coincided with me graduating from vet school. And so he was my graduation present to myself, and loaded in the moving van and drove off from Manhattan, Kansas to Las Vegas, Nevada.
So that's about the age that they retire these cats, about four?
Yep. Yeah. And when I say retire, I literally just mean they get adopted. Like they go, all right, you were a blood donor for enough time. We're going to pick you up and get you out into the world so that you can have a nice time and not have to just keep living like that.
All right. Well, I'm glad that they go up for adoption and they're treated well when you guys have them.
Yeah, it was pretty much, I think it's almost exclusively vet students that wind up getting attached to them, wind up taking them home. And so it makes a lot of sense.
I can't imagine not working with animals and not getting attached in some ways. And I grew up with a dog, but I've always had this affinity for cats. I love dogs, but I just feel more comfortable with cats. And I think more guys are starting to realize that if you got a cat, like, you don't have to get home to walk the cat, right? The cat's got the litter box. You know, maybe you can go out with the guys after work and not worry so much about it. I think more men are discovering that cats really suit their lifestyle.
Yeah, it makes it a little easier, especially I work 10-hour days with surgery and I have automated feeders. So I don't really have to feel bad where it's just like, all right, like I'm leaving like 7:30, 7:45 in the morning. I'm not getting home until 6:15, 6:30. I don't really have to feel terrible about like, oh, I'm gone. Especially since I have two cats, they keep each other entertained. They've got water. They've got the litter box. They've got their automated feeders. So they're going to be A-okay until I come home. And then I come home and I get to hang out with them. And that also makes it very easy to just be like, all right, well, if I go out for the night or disappear for the weekend, I live in a two flat because I'm in Chicago and we have a bunch of those. My upstairs neighbors love my cats and she just comes down and checks on them throughout the day, cleans the litter box, makes sure everything's okay. But it makes it very easy to just be like, all right, well, I'm going up to Wisconsin to see my niece and nephew for the day. I'm doing this, like just much, much easier to adapt around the lifestyle, you know, and to feel bad that you're not going on a walk. Like, yes, you do still need to play with them and give them environmental enrichment, but it's at a much different level of commitment than it is with a dog.
Yeah, dogs have the more immediate biological need. I mean, you couldn't work 12 hours and not have maybe a dog walker stop by a couple of times to let him out if you don't want to clean up a mess on your floor, right?
Absolutely.
What is there anything else that appeals to you about having kitties? What have you learned about them since you've decided to make them part of your life?
I mean, they're just really fun little guys. I like to think of them as kind of like little gremlins that live with you. We had a cat, like my family, we always had dogs growing up. We did have one cat that was born in my grandparents' woodshed. And so it was just like a little semi-feral cat that never truly grew fully out of that. The cat did very much do the thing where my dad always claimed to be allergic to cats and said we would not have one. And then he, around the time we adopted Fuzz, the little kitten from my grandparents' woodshed, my dad blew out his ankle stepping off the back porch and he hit the ground weird. And so he had to be home to recover from that. And the kitten would just sleep on the like little like kind of hammock canopy between his legs when he'd have a blanket over him. And so the two of them, like he wound up being the only person the cat liked in our family. Like I cleaned the litter box, I fed it. And he wasn't like antagonistic of a cat. He's just kind of a cat that was like indifferent to the rest of us, except my dad, who like he would just like hop up on furniture near and like talk at him and just like trot around. And it was like, what is this? Like,
what happened to the allergy? Did it just go away?
Yep. Yeah, both. I don't think it ever existed. Pretty sure it was just I don't want a cat kind of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, yeah, with my guys, it's just been very fun just watching the personalities go. I live on a block that has a couple daycares. And so when the kids all walk by like leashed together and everything, which is adorable. If it's a day I have off, I'll take Dante out on the porch and hold him and have him wave at the kids.
I remember when seeing a cat on a leash was like, whoa, what is that? Wow, a lot of people do it.
Oh, yeah. There was a lady in my old neighborhood who had a very long leash for hers. And you just look out your window because the lady with a leash would be looking up a tree. And yeah, her cat had climbed up the tree. And she would get it to come back down. It was very well trained. It was
that's good.
It was a little surreal every time you would encounter it because you'd forget, like, is this like a bit? Did you just like throw your leash up there to get people to look and go, is this like an art project kind of thing?
There are certain breeds that really need that outside stimulation. Like I have a friend in, he's in Canada. I can't remember the province right now, Vancouver. And he has two of those wild looking kitties, sorbels, right? And those need to go outside. They need to be walked. I personally, I don't know that I would take that on, but he loves them.
It's a lot if you've got the space and the resources and the time. Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So you were talking about where you work now. You guys do a lot of spay and neuter.
I think I've been averaging about 25, 26 a day per surgery day so far this year. I just passed 1,700 spay neuters alone on the year as of last week. So by the end of May. That's where I was sitting. Last year, I did 3,699. So I'm on pace to do considerably more than that.
That's great, though, because, you know, cats, I think they're just about as prolific as rabbits.
It's pretty close. Like, they have a couple litters a year, and the litters can be anywhere from, like, one to they can get up to 11 or 12. That's not as common. But like you're not going to be out of line to see 6 to 8 kittens come out each time. And you think, all right, mom does that, has 2 litters. We're talking mom makes 10 cats a year. Each of those cats can then make, if it's a male, it can obviously make considerably more because they're not worried about gestation. But it's one of those things where it's like, even if you're just like, all right, each of those 10 then makes 10, you have that pyramid fill really, really fast, especially because we'll have ones that come to us with a litter and we put them in foster care. And then by the time mom's ready to get spayed again, she is already pregnant. So you're like, this is just, the turnaround is tremendous. The ability to happen is just very well designed.
They're one of the few animals too that can get pregnant while they're pregnant. So they can have 2 different gestations going on at the same time, as I understand. Yeah. So yeah, maybe they're more prolific than rabbits. I don't know. But it's really important to do the spay neuters. A lot of people don't understand the importance of it, but it's not just from a reproductive standpoint. You also are saving the cat from a lot of different types of reproductive cancers by doing this.
Not just cancers, also pyometra, because I would say the most likely complication we see, because yes, uterine and ovarian cancer does exist. That's usually more of a secondary finding than anything, because like obviously it's more something seems to be going on that's different. Mammary cancer, they have a much higher rate of happening if they are still intact. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'd say the biggest complication we see besides dystocia, which is difficulty giving birth, that's usually more of like a pure breed kind of issue because we've genetically selected. Think like bulldogs, things with giant heads that have a hard time coming through a birth canal. So that can be a thing with Persians, other cats like that. But yeah, pyometra, which is infection of the uterus.
I was going to ask you if you'd explain that for those.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I see at least a couple of these a month. Someone will call and it is an emergency. So yeah, it's mitra, mitrosis. You'd think that's, we're doing Latin, we're talking about the uterus, and pio is Latin for pus. And so as the uterus expands, it's basically designed like a balloon, because I mean, that's how it goes from being roughly the size of Bucatini, if there's nothing in there, to capable of holding as much as 10 kittens. Wow. So it is an organ that has a great ability to expand. For whatever reason, it will get infected because there is a normal bacterial flora in there, just like there is in our intestinal tracts, on our skin. That's just part of life. The bacteria will get out of sync and start reproducing a lot for whatever reason. It could be heat cycle, it could just be bad luck. And if the pus doesn't have anywhere to go, like ideally it should drain out, the animal's immune system will take care of it, no problem.
Right.
But if that doesn't happen, you now have a balloon that is filling with pus. And that does become a bit of a race against the clock type situation. If it remains what we call an open pyometra, where it's able to leak out the vulva and drain, then antibiotics can go. You still need to get in there surgically to get rid of it. Whereas once it becomes closed, the expression in vet school they taught us was never let the sun set on a closed pyometra, because you now have a water balloon that will just keep expanding and expanding and eventually pop. The biggest one I've ever done was actually, I mean, I've had some pretty big ones in cats that kind of were like the size of a softball-ish. They felt like hand grenades. We did a large dog earlier this year that was about 10 pounds of pyometra in an 83-pound
dog. Wow. Does that only happen to females that have had babies?
I think there's a better chance of it because the uterine environment has changed, but it can happen to ones that have not as well.
Yeah,
it's usually just you see it more likely in ones that have, because it's more of a condition that happens on the back half of life. And usually, like if your animal hasn't been spayed by the time it's 6 or 7, the odds are it's probably had kids, unless you're just having an in heat cat in your house that is by herself or just with other girls.
Yeah, the reason I asked that, for people who don't know, because I had a cat I couldn't get spayed. She had a severe heart issue. And she lived to be about 7, but when she was about 5, she had pyometra. I was shocked because, you know, I thought, like most people do, that only happens to female cats that have had kittens. But, of course, we couldn't operate on her. So, heavy doses of antibiotic. Very lucky we got it cleared up. On that happy note, let me take a little break so we can hear from our sponsor. And we'll be right back to talk some more to Dr. Firmiano. We'll be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your Cat Tree Tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CATTREETRAY.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting, talking to the awesome Dr. Primiano. Those of you who are seeing video also see how gorgeous he is. I'm probably not supposed to say that. I'm embarrassing you, no? So what else can you tell us about cats that maybe the average person doesn't know, or somebody thinking about adopting cats during this National Cat Adoption Month?
I would say that I feel like a lot of the public opinion view of cats has changed even since I was a kid. I'll be 38 later this week, so it's one of those things where I've gotten to watch that shift happen overall, where they were thought of as like, this is an independent pet. This is the thing you don't entirely... I've got my Dante now. This is my big guy that turned me into a cat
beautiful.
Person.
Beautiful. Oh my goodness. You're gorgeous.
He's the best.
What a sweetheart.
They're both wrestling right now. Right next to me with my headphones out. But yeah, it's one of those things where it's been nice to get to watch it be like, oh, they're these aloof creatures that don't really need anything and don't really care about people and this and that. And it's like, I mean, that's not entirely accurate. There's parts of it that are semi-accurate. So those listening, the cats are now doing circles around the laptop. So
don't prove you wrong. You're wrong. I'm very friendly.
Appearing on screen in front of me. But yeah, it's one of those where people have always thought of it as like, yes, it's not a social creature. It's just kind of there. And that's just tremendously untrue. Ideally, if you get a cat, like it's better to they do better in pairs or with more, because
they do.
Much like people, they're not really meant to be alone. Like, they're social creatures. They have a different type of hierarchy than dogs or cats will, but they do tend to do better with at least another. Because that was, I could tell even with Dante when my Virgil passed away back in February, that he was lonely too, because I would come home and he would just be even more attached to me than normal. So it's one of those, it's like, all right, we got to get you a new little brother who's climbing into my work backpack right now. He's stop that. Roland.
Cats do need a social structure.
Oh, yeah.
Even out in nature, they live in a community. So
yeah, they do better just like we do with others of their kind around. And they can get that enrichment from you as well. But they do better with at least one friend. And the good news is they don't take up a lot of space. So usually like two is not very hard to pull off.
No, not at all. I tell people, if you don't have a lot of horizontal space, go vertical, right?
Yep.
So get some more cat trees, and cats like to be up high, most of them anyway. But I definitely agree, if you've got an only cat and you're thinking about adopting, you know, it might not go perfectly at first. You're going to have to go through a little introduction period. I can help you through that. But after you through that period, they're going to be so happy to have each other. Especially too, like a cat that's home alone all day, they're going to get themselves into some trouble, right? They're bored.
They're just like, you got to think of them as like very smart, capable children, in that they will just do what they want. I woke up the other day to a crunching noise at like 1 a.m.
Oh boy.
I'm like, what's happening? And Roland had knocked a container of pita chips off a shelf in the pantry and was individually bringing pita chips to eat at the floor of my bed.
Oh my goodness.
And
he wanted to share with you.
Yeah. Well, I was happy that he wasn't climbing into bed to eat them, but it was just like, what are you doing? Like, how is this even enjoyable to you? It's the pita chip. Like, you're
an
obligate carnivore. What are you doing?
And my cats tend to think they want whatever I'm eating. And then if I give them a piece, they're like, no, I don't want that. What is that? I think a lot of it is just they see you eating it and they want to try it.
Could very well be.
Just like kids, right? I love that. So during National Cat Adoption Month, I hope everybody listening will go out and adopt a kitty. If you've been thinking about it, this is the time, especially the older cats. I think with all the kittens, with kitten season, a lot of people forget about last season's kittens that maybe didn't get adopted.
definitely the kittens go through the shelter quicker, which isn't shocking. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. It's the same with puppies when you're in a shelter that also has dogs. Like it's smaller, it's very cute, you get to have it forever. But as someone who, yes, I did adopt a kitten, but also when I got my Dante, he was already full grown. And the only real bummer about that is I wish I had gotten to know what he looked like as a kitten. I'm sure I probably could have found it somewhere in the medical records at Kansas State.
Right.
But I've got a grown 4-year-old cat who he had his adjustments to being a pet and living out in the world again, because he had only ever been in the vet school his entire life. So there were very fun moments.
Right.
Like
that's right.
The first night I had him, when I stopped in Las Vegas, New Mexico, I'm taking a shower after being in a moving van for 12 hours and I hear hissing and I'm like, what's happening? And I jump out of the shower and he saw his own reflection for the first time in the hotel mirror. And he was just puffing up because he didn't know what he was looking at.
Yeah. He doesn't know it's not another cat.
Yeah. Watching him slowly learn what things were. Like when a pigeon went by the house I lived at out there and he like jumped against the window because he couldn't understand what windows were. Yeah, he would then have conversations with his reflection in the like little infinity effect in the bathroom vanity. And I just catch him like purring and chirping against it. The first time that he actually wound up, like it took 4 months for him to sleep on the bed next to me because my partner at the time and I went away to Zion for a weekend. And when we got back, I had him at work. He just went into boarding at work. So it's like, this will be easier. We didn't really know anybody out in Vegas yet. And when we got back, he seemed like so happy to be back in the house that like that night when we went to bed, he just like hopped up between me and my fiance at the time. And I was just like, this is a great spot to be. And we're like, all right, this is pretty adorable.
I know when you win over those ones, the ones that take a while, there's nothing better. I took in a feral. I was told he was feral. You wouldn't know it now. He was trapped in TNR and he's got FIV. So they didn't want to re-release him. It took him a good 8 months to show himself regularly. Meanwhile, he made friends with my cats behind the scene. It was just me. He wasn't sure. Well, now he's all over me all the time in the bed. So it's just very rewarding to win over a cat like that.
Absolutely.
Anything you would like our listeners to know before we depart?
I mean, main important things, if you are adopting a cat, like it should already be spay neutered. So that's great. You're ahead of the curve. If not, please do get your cat spay neutered. People ask me, don't you worry about job security? Because with all the surgery you're doing, won't we eventually run out of cats? And the answer is no.
That's never going to happen.
It's impossible. Now that I'm back in Chicago, I describe it as trying to drain Lake Michigan with a thimble. It's like, yeah, I can do my part, but like, it's never actually going to be fixed. But it's a problem that we can do good amounts of work with to help make better. And right. That helps a lot. And yeah, if you are looking to adopt a cat and you live in the Chicagoland area, you can come to Treehouse. We have cats always.
What's the name of your organization again? Treehouse
Humane? Treehouse Humane Society. We're at 7225 Northwestern.
You guys go and meet the kitties.
You can meet ones like Roland because he came from there.
At least give them some love and affection. Look who you can adopt there. Not this one, but you can find
not him, but
like
ones like him.
This one's yours, right?
He is. He is my little guy.
Look at him. I love orange kitties. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time out to come be on our show and talk about kitties. And, you know, I'm glad to see more men are adopting cats. I used to own a cats only pet sitting company, and I was noticing that I was getting a lot more male clientele. And even a couple, you know, the man would call and he's like, well, it's my cat. I don't know why she would call you. I love hearing that.
I was with my ex-wife. The dog was technically hers. Dante was technically mine. And then Virgil, the one who passed, was both of ours. But yeah, it was, yeah. So I was like, oh, the cat's hers. I was like, no, the cat's mine. That's my little dude.
That's my cat, not hers. You hear? I know. I love that. And I like dog-cat friendships too. So don't be afraid if you've got a dog to think about adopting a cat. I can help you with that introduction too. But a lot of time, that can be a little easier if you've got good control of your dog. So don't be afraid of thinking about, maybe I can add a cat to my family. Oh my gosh, this is so funny. You guys looking on video. He doesn't want you to talk anymore.
One of the first pictures I have of him and I was when he was a little kitten at the shelter. I was trying to get a picture of me holding him to send my family and then my girlfriend at the time. And he just like reached up and did that. And I will wake up in the middle of the night and he will be just like putting a hand on my mustache and on my face. And it's just like, okay, bud.
Well, there's proof right here. Cats are very affectionate.
Yeah,
so come back anytime if you've got something Absolutely. Else you want to talk about. I would love to have you back. And of course, I have to thank Mark Winter for giving me this spot on Pet Life Radio. I will be forever grateful. And all my listeners know what I'm about to say. Don't forget, every day is Catter Day. Oh my goodness. We'll talk to you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.